Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Stories of the New Testament, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 39 is entitled The Parable of the Talents, Part 2.
If you have not heard Part 1, may we recommend that you listen to podcast 35 first. It serves as an introduction. A talent is an extremely large sum of money. However, it can refer to any gift of the Spirit. Parables, of course, do not give themselves to one exclusive interpretation. We read parables as we read poetry or stories or cautionary tales. They grow with the reader's experience and, like a torch, they illuminate that which falls under their light. Sometimes a parable expands into us, and sometimes we expand into the parable. We carry away that which we are searching for. We search for that which we carry inside. In this interpretation, let's assume that the man traveling into a far country is actually the Savior, who is about to be crucified. The far country is heaven. The servants are disciples of Christ. A disciple being any follower of Christ. Christ is about to return to the kingdom of heaven, or return to his heavenly Father. While on earth he established the kingdom of God, which is his church. His disciples are members of his church. He gave each one of his disciples a certain number of talents to be used to build up his kingdom on earth. In other words, as a disciple of Christ, we must each evaluate the worth of our own talents in the service of the kingdom of God on earth. That means, of course, that when Christ returns, we must give an account of what we did with our talents. Which of the three servants or disciples do we identify with?
Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money.
The first thing we can dismiss is that wealth should be our goal.
Psalms 49:4-10. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark, saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? They that thrust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth the wise man die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leaveth their wealth to others.
Christ made it very clear what our goal should be.
Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
The parable of the talents, then, refers to spiritual growth, not temporal growth, though it may be expressed in innumerable ways, temporal or spiritual. Think of a gift or a talent as an innate quality that, dependent upon how well it is managed, can shrink or expand. In other words, we grow into our talents or we lose them. Talent, then, is a potential rather than a sum total of what we are. The unique part of the parable, however, is that the faithful servants not only realize their talents, that is, they grew into their talents, but they doubled them. A talent, then, is exponential. That which can be doubled once can be doubled twice, and so on. It is a fact of life that talents are not evenly distributed. We tend to gravitate toward our own talents. Some the world rewards, others the world ignores. Fame, publicity, popularity, or financial reward are irrelevant to importance. Often with a talent also comes a yearning or desire or love for that talent. It is its own reward. It is common to love that which we are good at. I shall never forget the Van Cliburn concert I attended. I had never heard the piano played like that before. He had no music in front of him. The music was inside. No matter how good the quality of the record, a live performance carries a greater spirit. I recall a story told of Van Cliburn. Apparently he was in a very exclusive hotel when suddenly water came through the ceiling below. It was discovered that the water was coming from Van Cliburn's bathtub. The great artist had apparently turned on the water and then became so engrossed in his piano practice, he forgot to turn the water off. The hotel forgave him. That story, whether true or false, became a symbol for me of Cliburn's dedication to his music. Surely he doubled his talent, and the world is a better place for it. I am a better person because the world had Homer, Shakespeare, Milton, Spencer, the Romantic poets, Mark Twain, and innumerable other writers and poets in it. Of course, I have never met Emily Dickinson, but her genius follows me around. When I hear a frog croak, I think of Emily Dickinson's poem.
I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'll advertise, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public like a frog. To tell one's name, the livelong June, to an admiring bog.
You think that is a silly poem? Now try to get it out of your head. It cuts into shreds the arrogance of fame. America's sweetheart only had a few of her poems published in her lifetime. Yet in her death, her poetry lived to entertain and enlighten millions. To God, everything is spiritual. To inspire means to fill with the Spirit of God. All good gifts come from God, and every person on earth who shares those gifts are servants of God. Each of us will answer to God for how we used our special gifts. That is one of the messages of the parable of the talents.
After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Notice that the Lord does not distinguish between the one with 5 talents and the one with 2 talents. Both receive equal reward. He said the same thing to each. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. When they enter into the joy of the Lord, they will be equal. This takes the parable of the talents to an entirely new level. How we use our talents here is the key to our eternal progression. Try to imagine being in the presence of God. Now let's take a moment to look at the promises God gives to those who love him. Jesus said,
All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. John 16:15.
Why does that matter to us? It matters because all that Christ has, he gives to those who love him, and who keep his commandments.
Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
In other words, those who are joint heirs with Christ will be given the power of Christ. As John said,
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 John 3:2-3.
It was Christ who promised,
Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:43.
We are not measured by the number of talents we have. We are measured by how well we use those talents on earth in the service of our God and in the service of our fellow man. It is a reflection on how well we live the two great commandments, love the Lord and love our neighbor. Of course, there are conditions. On the one hand, I don't think it is relevant that some are financially rewarded for their talents and others aren't. We all must make a living in a world that is governed by money. On the other hand, we must account for the desires of our heart. When the Lord sent Samuel to search for a king, Samuel wanted to pick the taller, handsomer son of Jesse. But the Lord looked at things differently.
1 Samuel 16:6-7. And it came to pass, when they were come, that they looked at Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
We know then that the servant with one talent was not condemned because he had only one talent. He was condemned because he buried his talent. First of all, we must consider that a talent, which was 75 pounds, was a measure of gold and silver. In today's market, a talent of gold would be worth millions of dollars. The number is irrelevant. The intent is to show that even one talent, no matter how small relative to others, is of great worth to God. If the servant had doubled his talent, he would have had the same promise. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But the servant didn't expand the talent. Instead, he buried it deep in the earth. But listen to the servant's excuse and ask yourself, why didn't the Lord accept it?
Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth.
Fear, not personal capability, stood in his way. The talent was his. He had the ability to double his talent, as did the other two. But he lacked faith. Faith is the first principle of the gospel. Faith in Jesus Christ is required for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Lord entrusted him with a talent, but he didn't trust in the Lord. Many are familiar with the following proverb.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
The Lord promises that he will make it possible to keep his commandments if only we trust in him. He said, He shall direct thy paths. That also says something about how the Lord answers prayers. Answers to prayer seldom simply materialize. More often than not, if we allow it, the Lord directs us on how to bring about the solution. In addition, what does that tell us about the other two servants? Are we to assume they had no fear? No, not at all. They overcame their fear and trusted in the Lord. The amount of money didn't matter. What mattered was the amount of faith. It was Peter who said, The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. The servant given one talent had it backwards. He thought gold was more precious than the trial of his faith. It wasn't the gold that was on trial, it was his faith. Gold cannot get you into the joy of the Lord. Our trials are not the tragedies of life. All tragedies, no matter how severe, are temporal. They end with death. Only our faith is on trial. It is our faith that goes with us to heaven, not our tragedies. The servant thought it was enough to simply have guarded or hidden his talent. He gave in to his fear. He buried his talent. He thought the Lord was interested in the talent, when the Lord was interested in the man's faith and in his service to others. He said to the master, "Lo, there thou hast that is thine." Looking for mercy, he received the following condemnation.
His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Let me invite you to look at the above in another light. It wasn't money the Lord was seeking. It was service in his kingdom. In other words, because the servant buried his talent, none of God's other children benefited. Their lives were not made better. That is why he was a wicked and slothful servant. The servant condemned himself. He was like the 5 foolish virgins who were not allowed into the marriage feast, which is equivalent to the joy of the Lord. He had no oil in his lamp. In other words, he did not develop his faith. He buried the very thing that would have increased his faith, twofold. He did not have the faith to face his fear. Those who allow temporal tragedies to destroy their faith are like the servant who buried his talent. One of the primary messages of the parable of the talents is that we are not here to increase in talent. We are here to increase in faith and to bless the lives of others. Only faith can bring down the power of God. Only faith in God can bring about miracles. The talent given to the servant benefited neither the servant nor others. Only faith in Christ can get us into the joy of the Lord. And what do you think the joy of the Lord is? The joy of the Lord is in saving his children. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.